You guys, hi, I'm Charlie Bleeker.
And I'm Sam Bleeker.
And this is Bleeker Bombs, a podcast where we talk about all our struggles, marital, parental, financial, and personal. Let's do this.
It's not what I do. Okay. Test, test, test. 1, 2.
Here we go. Here we go.
I never ever say here we go. Here we go.
You always do. And you lean in this weird way.
I feel like you're hotter than me. Hey. I do that and it goes into the red, but I don't ever talk like that.
Right, right.
This seems a little bit low.
We basically talk at the same volume. Just put them on the same sixes.
I feel like I talk lower. Oh, geez, that's really high. Okay, fine. I don't know why I bother touching these. Okay. I am struggling with friendships.
Mm.
I have been feeling like friendships are really important, but then not doing anything to cultivate them, and like having this push and pull of like friendships are important. I need my people in my life. I need to make an effort. But then I'm also really happy living in my tiny little bubble with me time, me and you time, and me, you and kid time. And the example I wanted to talk about was we did a staycation in April at the beach near us. And we loved it. And so we were like, okay, let's do another staycation in September. Mm. And that's where we were talking about whether or not we invite other people. So we could like get a bigger house and we could invite my college roommate, Ellie, and her husband, Norm, who we've had on the podcast, by the way, and their kids, because their two daughters are our kids' age. So it's really nice because it's hard to find couples who we get along with both people. And they are also in like the same phase of life as us. So it makes a lot of sense to invite them. But I was so resistant to the idea because I'm like, okay, if we just go, the four of us, then I get to just like be at this beach house with you guys and just have these views, hear the ocean and spend time with you. And then there will be also times like we're going to send the kids to school still. So I'm going to get to do my stuff and be productive and read my books all at the beach. It would just be so lovely. But then I'm like constantly in the back of my mind thinking how it's really important to cultivate friendships and then not wanting to actually like put forth the effort. Because then if my friends come, then I kind of feel like I'm in hosting mode. There's not really much of the me time that I'm talking about. And I feel like I'm kind of like turned on the whole time. So it's a little bit exhausting. So I feel like if we did that, then I would come home and just feel behind and not really like well rested or any of the things that I would hope to get out of a staycation.
For me, I think I would always choose just going the four of us because it's comfortable. And I see the vision and it's like, okay, we're going to wake up in the morning. George is going to run to the door pointing at the sunrise and be so excited. And then we'll look at the sun rising over the ocean. We'll get our stuff together. We'll walk down the road to get our acai bowls or breakfast sandwiches and coffees. And then we'll walk back. We'll put the school bags in the car. I'll drop them off at school while you like open your book or open your computer to write, and then I'll get back and I'll have this whole day. It's a change of environment, which sparks creativity. And then you'll pick them up from school. We'll go to the beach for a few hours during like the, what is it called? The golden hour. And then we'll go out to dinner and then we'll get back. We'll put them to bed. And then it's just like you and me on vacation, opening our books. Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, sounds really good.
Really good.
But I felt like you were encouraging me to reach out to Ellie.
I was, because you've talked about how community is important. And I really like Norm. Mm-hmm. I think you're spot on. It's one of the few, like we've been trying to rack our brains for couples where the problem is, okay, let's talk about the problem. The problem is most couples are not both obsessives in their current form. And so like even some of our friends where we're mutually friends with them, like the wedding we met at.
Amy and Matt are their names.
Amy and Matt.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Matt is one of my best friends from college and I love Matt, but He's a total casual. He wants to sit home all day on Sunday and watch every NFL game. He is doing really great at his job, and he's very successful from like the amount of money he's making and whatnot, and his status at his company and the way the company is doing. But he just doesn't care about it. It's like work to him, and he goes to work, and then he comes home, and all he wants to do is play golf on Saturday and watch football on Sunday. I don't have that much in common with Matt anymore, aside from our prior past histories, yeah, and our like past lives.
And having kids the same age.
So like going on vacation with them, like it would be hard because there wouldn't be this understanding where I can just go off and work or read or whatnot. With Norm, it's like he's running this unicorn private company that has some of the best venture investors in the world. Like this dude is killing it. And he's going to be working too. Where I was going with all of that is I think we need to get better at not trying to like care so much about what people think of us. Mm. And we don't have to be in hosting mode all the time. They're more than capable of getting the lay of the land and doing what they want to do and make it their own. Like, especially because their kids won't necessarily be in school.
Yeah, but I feel guilt that we don't get to see them very often. So if you're going to spend the, you know, 4 nights at this beach house together, then I should be making the most of that time. Mm.
Yeah, well, I think it's a combination. I think you can try to pick your spots a little bit.
Well, and then I struggle with my pseudonym because Ellie doesn't really know what I do or understand what I do. And something happens when I try to explain what I do to people who don't know. I feel very defensive, and I feel like whatever I say, they're not going to believe me. Hmm. So then I don't even like to be in that situation.
I think you just need to forget about the pseudonym. Like, don't talk about the pseudonym. Talk about all the memoirs you're reading. Like, talk about the podcast you're doing, the solo podcasts you're doing. Talk about your own memoir that you're going to write. None of that has anything to do with the pseudonym.
Yeah, even talking about that stuff, though, is hard.
Why?
Because I feel like because they can't see anything I'm doing that they don't believe me.
But they can. You spit out like 40 minutes of this beautiful soliloquy on each memoir you read. So revisit some of that stuff. Stop talking about what you're actually producing. Talk about the memoir.
Mm.
And like get on those wavelengths.
Yeah,
and talk
that's
about
true.
How green lights. It, like what you took away from that and how Matthew McConaughey is like interesting and how you're going to weave that some of like what he did into your own memoir and talk about how you didn't like Viola Davis's memoir and the reasons why. And it's like, that stuff's interesting. That's a conversation.
Yeah.
And it's not resting on any of like your real name or pseudonym or whatever.
Yeah, I should do that. Thanks for the pep talk. One other piece of going on a trip with other people is that we don't really drink that much anymore, and we used to drink a lot more. So I have this kind of fear around how that's going to go and like what their expectations are and worrying that, I know this sounds stupid coming out of my mouth, but like worrying that like if we're not drinking that they're going to be like, oh, like this isn't very fun.
Yeah. I mean, they can certainly drink.
Yeah.
They could drink as much as they want. I think also with this couple in particular, when they came to visit us, we drank a lot, but it was also very clear from like things that they said that they don't really drink that much. They picked their spots and they drank that weekend. But then when we went to visit them, we barely drank.
Yeah.
And it was still fun. So I would get out of your head about that. Like if they want to drink because it's a vacation, by all means, go ahead. And it's like, we're not going to judge at all. But I think we can still be fun without drinking. But it is hard because I like the thought of going the four of us is really romantic.
Yeah, it's probably just going to be the four of us. So I wanted to talk a little bit more about drinking and give everyone an update because we haven't talked about it in too long. But when my family just came to visit, my parents and my younger sisters, this was the first time for you that you have ever not drank at all around my family or your family, any of our families.
Right.
This was a very conscious decision going into it. You're like, I'm not drinking during this trip.
And yeah, I had no desire. It wasn't like I was imposing any willpower. It was like, I have zero desire to drink this trip.
Yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit about how that went for you? Because for me, I was like, my plan going into this they were here for four nights. And I was like, I am definitely going to drink the first night. And then after that, I'm not sure. I was guessing that I would probably drink two of the four nights they were here. And then when they got here, for some reason, the first night, I just was able to not drink at all. And then I was like, oh, that was fine. And it wasn't like, I didn't feel pressured at all. And they didn't make me feel pressured. And it was really nice that I didn't drink. And I was like so excited. And then I only drank one night while they were here. When we all went out to dinner, we got a babysitter for the kids. And I shared a bottle of wine with my sister. So I drank less than two glasses of wine. It was delicious. I savored every sip. And I had a really good time. And I was really surprised because I thought that if I drank, I was going to have like kind of a negative spiral in my head where I was like, I'm not even enjoying this that much. I'm going to sleep like shit tonight. I don't like how it's making me feel. I hate that I just did this because my family's here and I feel pressured, but I didn't feel that. I just like relaxed and I enjoyed it. And then we got home from dinner early, like 8 o'clock, and didn't drink anything else. So I didn't even feel like it. Of course it did mess up my sleep a little bit, but it didn't really mess me up too much that night. So it was a big win for me that week.
That's awesome. For me, it was almost all positive. There was no desire to drink. The only moment was when, like at dinner at the restaurant, when you were having wine, I asked if I could taste it and I took a sip. And like, we've had some really good wine on the occasions that we do drink, but for whatever reason, this wine like was really speaking to me. Yeah. And I was like, wow, that tastes like normally, even if it's an amazing bottle of wine and I'll taste it recently, I'm like, eh. And this, for whatever reason, was delicious. And I had this like slight moment of like, ooh, I kind of want a glass. But then I was like, no, actually I don't. Because one, I'm driving home and I hate even having like a half a glass of wine in me when I drive. Like it's just a low level anxiety. And so that was one aspect. Two, I was exhausted and I wanted to like go to bed and sleep. And three, I wanted to be able to like call it an early night and just go into our bedroom and open my book and get some alone time to rejuvenate. And so that's what I loved most about
it's
not
great
drinking.
That you had all that in your head. Mm-hmm. Like you were thinking about when I get home, like this is what my plan for the night.
Right. Now, my mistake, I bit off more than I could chew from a cooking standpoint for the week. Why are you smiling?
I was going to say, you think?
Well, we like hosting. You've said that, and I feel this way too, but like one of the ways we show love is through the food we make and the food we share. I also wanted some like alone time in the kitchen, so I thought it would be great. Cooking is also really fun. It's like normally I don't give myself the space to make elaborate things. And so this was like, all right, well, we have visitors. I'm not going to be getting that much work done anyway. So this is a cool time to like experiment with things. But it was way too much. And it was every day except the night we went out to dinner.
And the brunt of the meals fell on you, like the main dishes. And so you were really stressed out.
Yes. The second day I was going to make a pulled pork and smoked chicken. And so the pulled pork needed to get on early. And I happened to like wake up in the middle of the night, like maybe at like, I don't know, 3:45. And my alarm was set for 4:30 anyway. So I was like, all right, well, let me just get a head start on this. I walked out. The living room light was on. The outdoor light was on. The bathroom light was on. There are martini glasses and wine glasses littered throughout the kitchen. And I was just like,
he was really mad at me.
Well, in any event, but I got the pork on and I thought I was doing okay. I thought I had let that in the past, but I had not. Like I was still holding on to that. And I was just exhausted the whole day. And then pork is one of those things where like I don't do it often enough. And I feel like each one is different. In any event, this one was taking a really, really, really long time. And so I was thrilled I got it on early, but I thought I like was doing okay. But then I was like, shit, this is not going to be ready when I want it to be ready because it's got to come out and then it's got to rest for at least an hour. So I was really stressed about the timing. And
he took it out on me.
Well, hold on. Here is where normally I would fall back on like a glass of wine. If I'm stressed about the cooking, like I know deep down that it's process versus outcome. It's not that big of a deal. It's like all of these things. If it's not edible, it's not like we're going to starve. But I'll normally open a glass of wine and then tell myself that, or open a beer and tell myself that. And this time I didn't have that emergency break and I was tired. And so I did. I kind of snapped at you a little bit throughout the day and we got into it and we were not on the same page that day. And then later I said, like, I don't think, like, you're showing no empathy that this is the first time I'm not drinking.
And that was hard for me to hear because I had been checking in with you about how you felt and you kept on being like, I feel great. I feel fine. It's like it's not an issue. So then I felt like, okay, well, it's not an issue then. And then you're like, you're not even having any empathy. I'm not even drinking. And I'm like, oh, I thought you said it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think when you were saying like you weren't checking in with me, you were checking in with me before the trip.
No, I felt like I was checking in with you about no drinking.
About the drinking?
Yeah, like the first night I came in. Oh, I know you were sleeping at some point, but I talked.
We didn't
about,
really see each other alone like at all because I was going to bed early.
Yeah,
and you were
day
out.
Two, I said something to you about the drinking because I know you were like you didn't even know that I didn't drink, and you were like you didn't drink last night, and I was like no, I didn't even drink, and I was so proud of myself, and you didn't feel the same way I felt about not drinking. Like you weren't like feeling so proud of yourself. You were like, yeah, it wasn't a big deal.
Well, yeah, because I had no desire to drink, and it was really this aspect of how to control the stress of like the timing of cooking on top of watching kids. One of our daughter was sick also, and the kids were a lot, and I felt like I was being pulled in a million directions. And so normally like the stress of cooking, I can wash out with a glass of wine. And that was the only thing I wasn't able to do. So that was my one, okay, like I need to figure out how to manage this without alcohol. But other than that, it was like, I was thrilled I didn't drink. I had no desire to.
You said something to me when we were like really fighting. We were fighting like at 7 a.m. in the kitchen with both kids awake and everybody else upstairs sleeping. You said something that I was just like, huh, I will take this in and think about it. But you said that I cared more about what they thought or I cared more about but what they thought and what they feel. Mm-hmm. And I was like, thinking like, I guess I do care because the night before you snapped at me in the kitchen while we were making dinner, they're witnessing it. I hate that they're witnessing that because they don't get to see us that often. So I think that we have a great relationship and they're seeing us being snippy with each other and it's not what I want them to see. So then, yeah, I do care that they're seeing it, but I also care that it's happening.
Yeah. I mean, like the first night.
Go ahead.
You had sweet potatoes and carrots that were already prepped. And I was making...
It was a lot of sweet potatoes and carrots. It was too many.
Right. So you just got to fill up one sheet pan of sweet potatoes.
Well, I did two. Yeah.
And one sheet pan of carrots.
Yeah, but we didn't have enough space in the oven. And I kept on asking you, when do you need the oven? How much time do you need? And you're like, I don't know.
Right. Because... It's impossible to know.
Right. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to put stuff in. You're like, you're still not done using the oven? And by the way, yes,
you were in
you're
the
right.
kitchen the whole time.
I was
time
behind
for...
on some things because my family was here and I'm right. like trying to also like be in every conversation with them.
But I don't even know what you were doing in the kitchen. So I understand the oven space, but you had sweet potatoes and carrots that were prepped. So don't you need to like just mix them with olive oil, spread them on a sheet tray and sprinkle a little salt on and put them in the oven?
Yeah.
So what were you doing in the kitchen?
What do you mean?
Like you were in the kitchen the whole time I was cooking.
I don't remember.
Right.
But I was busy. I was cleaning. We had appetizers out. So I was like doing the appetizers because I needed the oven for the appetizers. Hmm. And I was doing like the chips and the salsa and stuff and... trying to make room for everything. I was busy. It was nonstop. What do you mean? What do you think I was doing in the kitchen?
I don't know.
You were getting in your way?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I think. And so, yes, I should not have like, and snapped is like, there are varying degrees of snapped. Like I was a little frustrated.
There's no varying degrees for when other people are witnessing it.
It should have nothing to do with that. That should see, this is what I quibble with because it's either okay or it's not, regardless of whether anyone sees it. And yes, I should not, like, it's either okay or it's not, but it's still a spectrum within okay and not. And so I should have been more patient with you for sure. But it wasn't like, it was just like a little bit snippy.
Yeah, but it felt like it was all day. And it's just a high anxiety, high stress situation when my family's here. It's just a lot, and there's a lot going on in my mind and a lot I'm trying to juggle and maintain, and it just really sucked because you're my person, And I just like needed you through this. And I felt like we were just at odds with each other. And you were so stressed out. And then you were mad at me because I wasn't being appreciative of what you were doing. And I just felt like I was alone against my family. And all day, I'm like, what's going on with you? I'm tired.
This was the next day.
Whatever. And yeah, what's going on with you? You're tired. And then also like, you're stressed out because the pork's not going to be ready. And like, I don't even know what to say to that. And then I say the wrong thing because I'm like, it's fine. And you're like, no, it's not fine. Or if I say like, oh, geez, I thought we were going to get six. You're like, well, so it's like no matter what I say, I feel like you're going to react the same way.
I don't know. If you said it was fine, I don't think I would have said, no, it's not fine.
I can't remember what I said.
Well, there's a few things here. The way you were feeling, like you just wanted your person on your team.
You felt the same way.
I felt the same way.
I understand that.
And also, like I do, even replaying this right now, I think that if I was like a little bit snippy with you tonight when we're getting dinner ready, if it's just like the four of us,
yeah,
you'd be like, that's not like the best way to talk to me. But you wouldn't carry on. You would.
That's a great point. But we would have talked about it afterwards. And when my family was here, there was no time to talk about stuff afterwards. So I hated the way it felt.
I don't even know if we would have talked about it. There's so many times you would look past something, or like maybe later you would be like, hey, like that.
Or you would have brought it up later and been like, I shouldn't have snapped at you and whatever. Like, I feel like we always would resolve it.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't think it ever just, you're ever like snippy with me and I'm just like, yeah, he's tired. And then I just don't ever talk about it again. I don't think that ever happens.
I do. I don't even think you remember it because it's not a big deal.
Mm, maybe.
And I think this one you cared a lot about because...
Because people are seeing it.
People are seeing it. Yeah, that's... For me, it's like, that shouldn't be the...
Yeah, no. I hear you. One thing that you said for this trip was that you really wanted to be yourself because you feel like you're never yourself around my family.
Yeah.
And then you're being snippy with me. And I'm like, this is yourself? This is not yourself. This is not how you are with me, like, generally. And so I was feeling myself get worked up because I felt like you weren't being yourself even after you said you really wanted to be yourself.
I do get stressed when I cook because right. I don't cook enough. So that's myself. You're thinking about it's like me against you. Exactly. And I'm thinking about it, me against the oven, like, or the food.
But it wasn't you. You were just saying how annoyed you were with me that I was in the kitchen.
Well, I was because I was like, I thought we planned this out where you had this stuff all prepped. So all you had to do was sprinkle some olive oil and put it in the oven. And I like did not understand what you could have possibly been doing.
What are you so bummed about with me being in the kitchen? Like, why was that bothering you so much?
Because I didn't have enough room. And then every
being in the kitchen is offensive?
No, of course not. But when you're in my way, every time I'm trying to like get something, or if I'm trying to get something, why do you think I was snapping at you?
You were snapping at me because of the oven situation.
Yeah, because you were you.
Because I had stuff in the oven.
You had stuff in the small oven. You had stuff in the big oven on both.
Yeah, because I had too many effing vegetables.
And this is my point. Like, there should have been one sheet tray for each. You shouldn't have been making all of that. Like, and it was such a simple solution. At first,
well, it already happened. So then I couldn't change it.
Right. You know, we're doing this in front of the listener.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Well, you got mad that I did it in front of your parents and you're snapping at me.
I'm not snapping at you.
True.
This is nothing. Oh. It's a lot when my family comes to visit.
Yeah.
And I feel like we go into it like such a team and we're about to tackle this together. And then things start to fall apart when they're here. And it's hard to reconnect because there's no time to reconnect. Because by the time I come into the bedroom, you're already asleep. And then in the morning, it's just like...
Well, there's another example. Like, it doesn't have to be like that. If I'm saying I'm going to go to bed, you can come in and check in with me for 2 minutes and then go back and
hang
out.
Yeah, you said that. And I was like, well, I didn't feel like it would be 2 minutes. I felt like I would be coming into the bedroom and then we'd be getting into a long, drawn-out discussion while my family was sitting out there, and then they'd just go to bed, and then I'd feel really bad.
We wouldn't have to do that. You could say, like, hey, I just wanted to check in. It was a little bit chaotic during dinner. I love you.
Yeah, but I was mad at you.
Right.
So I couldn't just check in.
Yeah, and that's fine, but when you're saying like, and then you go to bed early, well, and there's no time to check in. And it's like, my point is that doesn't have to be the case.
Yeah, I didn't. These are things that I realized after the fact. I didn't think like during it.
Yeah, I'm just saying as a learning experience for next time.
Yeah.
If I say I'm going to go to bed or you say you're going to go to bed, one of us, the other person could check in for and just say like, hey, we can't be in here too long because my family's out there. But yeah. I just wanted to say goodnight or I wanted to get back on the same page.
Well, anyway, you said after this was all over that you felt hungover after they left.
I did. I was exhausted.
Yeah.
I think way too much cooking, way too much like parenting on top of cooking. Normally it's like on weekends, we have our dinners planned out better.
And we also didn't eat well, like healthy.
Yeah, I was eating a lot
worse.
And
I made my cookies. Mm-hmm. So we were eating cookies every night.
I think that. So yeah, I wasn't getting enough sleep and I wasn't getting great sleep because I was eating sugar before bed. And yeah. So, and it was having people in your house is hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we survived.
Yeah.
We're still married, you guys.
I've been making that joke. You're stealing my jokes.
Well, they didn't hear it. Okay.
That was really boring, by the way.
That was really boring?
I think so.
Oh, I feel like if we're talking about an argument, then it's not boring.
I don't think it was good, but all right.
Well, we can, then we'll cut it.
Okay.
The only other thing I had to talk about was parenting stuff. And I thought you said you didn't want to,
okay.
But now you think that what thing we just said was really boring. So
I feel like this podcast has been very low energy. maybe I didn't prep at all. Like, and so maybe that's part of it. Like I didn't have any points that I knew were going to be a little bit spiky. I also like, you seem tired.
I do.
Yeah,
I am.
I know you are. That's why I'm saying you seem it.
Well,
so that's my concern. Normally I don't feel this way when we're like, but we were just talking and it was like, we've talked about all this stuff before. We're going in circles. We're, I don't know. Maybe I'll re-listen to it and be surprised. But
yeah, I think you said something before about there was a podcast you listened to, Making Media, where they said like the key to a good podcast is for the, if it's two people that they are not in agreement.
All the time, yeah.
All the time. And so I feel like a lot of times we are in agreement because we have the same views about a lot of things.
Right.
So whenever we talk about an argument and we're not on the same page and I'm saying things opposing what you're saying, then that's better. It's more engaging.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know if we did like the best job explaining though.
You know what you always tell me? If it's not good, then we won't
I know.
Publish it.
I completely agree with that context. I was just giving you my initial reaction.
Yeah, but you're stressing me out now that this isn't good.
Is there like something else we can talk about?
You asked me the other day how I would rate our marriage.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10. And I said an 8 and you said a 9.
Yeah.
I think we have a great marriage. We are able to talk about everything that we're thinking and feeling and things that are bothering us. And it feels very safe to be vulnerable and open up about stuff. And I think that doing this podcast is really good for us because even though a lot of the stuff we're talking about on our own time, and then we're rehashing it on here, it feels different.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we're so focused on each other here and so present and nothing else is distracting us. And that feels really nice because yeah. I think other times when we're like, you know, standing at the kitchen island or I'm checking in your office, there's just so many other things going on. We're constantly on our phones and
the kids are screaming.
Right. And the kids. And so, you know, if this was a low energy episode or it's not as exciting as other podcasts or as interesting, like it doesn't matter.
No, I agree. And like to the point we always say, we don't have to publish it.
Yeah, you don't have to publish it. We say it every time and then I publish it because I'm like, I listen to it back and I'm always like, oh, I know, that was pretty good. I do this all the time where I record, sometimes even with the memoir podcast, I'll finish recording and I'll be like, ugh. And then I go back and listen to it and I'm like, oh yeah, no, this works. And, you know, that's the beauty of editing that I'll just keep the good stuff, the juicy stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, I rated us a 9 because sure, we'll like fight and be at odds, but and I said this to you the other night, but one, I think it's almost always clean. Like there's never been one time where either of us had said something that we haven't, like we've felt like, oh God, regret. We can never take that back. Like, so we've never said anything that we really regret. The duration is getting shorter and shorter. And the reason I think it's 9 is, like, mainly because we say everything to each other. There is nothing unsaid. There's nothing, at least, that I feel like is permeating underneath the surface. And I feel like a lot of relationships that I've been in the past or that I've witnessed in other people, there are things that one partner is just not saying.
Absolutely. You know what we've been doing lately that's been nice?
What?
We'll get in a fight and then one of us will like walk into the room and we'll just like smirk at the other one. And then the other one will be like, yes. and then we'll just kind of start laughing about it and we'll both just kind of lighten up and then we can look at it, you know, a little bit more playfully. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that that's been intentional, but I've just noticed that that's been happening a bunch.
Yeah. I think we're both starting to see like the humor in it. Like
sooner.
Yeah. Well, also the, when we're thinking about like George's health struggles compared to like whatever small thing we're arguing about, things have just so much more perspective now, or like the car accident versus like whatever argument. So I don't know. For me, like things feel so much smaller than they used to.
Yeah. It's good. All right. Well, thanks for doing this with me.
Likewise.
I love you.
I love you too.